Are we ready to die for the faith? Not metaphorically, I mean, but actually die for what we believe in. Now, church history is full of examples, even to our modern day, of martyrs giving witness to the faith, standing up against opposition. You know what? That's what we're called to do. To give witness to our faith, to live the Christian life, and to defend the faith. We are fortunate that we are not at that extreme point, but make no mistake, in this time and in this country, we are still a persecuted church. Are you ready to stand up for what you believe? Would you have the same conviction as the seven brothers did, as we heard from the Maccabees? As I said, most of us will not be in that situation, but when was the last time you stood up for the law of God? Remember those Ten Commandments? Remember, they're not suggestions, they're commandments. The danger is we live our earthly existence, that we can become complacent. We can become desensitized. I preached on this. We can become desensitized to the effect of sin in our lives. Missing Mass on Sunday is a mortal sin. It's in the commandments. And All Saints' Day was a solemnity, a holy day of obligation. So if you missed Mass on All Saints' Day, guess what? Now, I know that we are all trying to be good Catholics, and we try our best for ourselves. What are we supposed to be doing for the world around us? Remember, you're a priest, you're a prophet, and you're a king. There's no such thing being a passive Christian. So what are we doing to proclaim the truth? What are we doing to defend the faith? How are we evangelizing those around us, our friends and our families? Remember, we are called to admonish the sinner. And you probably tried that with somebody, right? And what did they say? Stop judging me. A little bit angry at you. Now, I'm sure we've tried that with our family and our friends, and we've gotten similar reactions. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to go about admonishing your family and friends. You know your relationship dynamics better than I do. We don't judge anybody. That's for him and him alone. But we always want the best for others. You know, don't stick your finger in the electrical outlet. You'll get shocked. Don't sin. It ain't good for you. Now, it's still incumbent upon us, though, to show others the way. Jesus. Now, I know it's hard to speak the truth. Nobody wants to hear it. It hurts. And because of that, we are afraid. We are afraid for ourselves. We are afraid to offend others. We are afraid what might happen to us. Well, look what they did to him. Look at those who do speak the truth. You know, it's happening all the time. There are people who are being very, very brave in speaking the truth. And now I guess the word now in the modern terms is being canceled, being deplatformed, and being demonetized. But you know what? The truth prevails. Look what Elon Musk is trying to do over at Twitter. Oh my gosh! I mean, the social media universe is in an uproar. They can't believe what's going on. This is a guy who just wants the truth to be out there. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. I read that somewhere. what does Jesus keep telling us? Do not be afraid. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, pray for us, so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified, as it did among you, that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people. For not all have faith." Who are these perverse and wicked people, you might ask? Anyone who steers you from the truth, because they're trying to draw you away from Christ. There are many leaders in our world who call themselves Catholic, claim to profess the faith, yet support the evil of abortion under the guise of protecting the right to choose. Notice how they're twisting words. Remember, only God and God alone is the author of life, not man. Man cannot redefine the truth. That's where we get into trouble. That's where we sin. Do not believe them. They have separated themselves from the church, and they cannot continue to be supported in their leadership positions. We must pray for them that they return to the truth, that is, Jesus Christ. Remember, every time I say the word truth, it's a capital T, okay? Another name for Jesus. Now, in a few days, remember, you're a priest, you're a prophet, and a king. In a few days, on Tuesday, you're going to exercise your kingly office. So we must end the scourge of evil in the world, lest we participate in it. Approving of somebody else's sin, we become part of that sin. Paul encourages the Thessalonians, "May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ." He gives us the strength to fight the earthly battle, to stand up for that truth. That is why we have the sacraments. I love the definition of the sacrament that comes from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. "The sacraments are efficacious signs of grace instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church by which divine life is dispensed to us." Divine life now. Imagine that in our earthly existence. Why would we not want to get it as often as we can? There we go. Father's going to tell us we've got to go to confession. You're right. If you missed All Saints Day, remember, go to confession. The sacraments are for us in our earthly existence to prepare us for the heavenly existence. And you know what? So in heaven, there will be no need for sacraments. Now, some of the Sadducees who deny that there is a resurrection came forward and put this question to Jesus. You know, in the gospel, if it's not the scribes, it's the Pharisees. If it's not the Pharisees, it's the Sadducees. And, you know, we already had 2 weeks of tax collectors, so now we're on to the Sadducees. You know, they're all trying to trip up Jesus. Don't do it. You see, the Sadducees are trying to apply earthly realities and earthly understandings to the ways of God, to heavenly realities. Now, we have to be careful ourselves, because here in our finite existence, how do we understand and explain that which is infinite? And that's what theology is all about. Faith trying to seek understanding. The analogy we use, let's say a simple analogy, you know, we say, you know, heaven's in the clouds and hell is in the earth full of fire. We do this because of our limited human ability to understand the vastness of the Father's creation. Fortunately, he sent his Son to explain it to us, okay? A simple understanding of why we are here. Why did God make us? He loves us. But what is our life about? Well, we long to be complete. Our longing in life is to be one with God. This beautiful circular relationship we have with the Father, with the Creator. He made us so much. Obviously, He loved us so much that He made us. And that love imbues our very existence. We feel incomplete, so we long to return to the Father. We want to be in union. We want to be in common union. We want to be in communion with Him. You see where this is going? So the sacrament of the Eucharist is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet of being in communion with the living God. Now, the sacrament of marriage, as taught by St. John Paul II, is an icon of the triune love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is a whole another semester of theology right there to go into. And the marital act between husband and wife is a sacramental. Remember what Sister taught us about a sacramental? It points to a sacrament. The sacramental of blessing ourselves with holy water at the doors of the church points to the sacrament of baptism. So the sacramental of the love between the husband and the wife is the sacramental that, guess what, points to the Eucharist. Being in union, being in common union, in communion with each other is what we long for. We have that foretaste now of in the earthly reality so that we can be with God in the heavenly reality. That is why marriage between a man and a woman is a divine institution by God, raised to the dignity of a sacrament by Jesus that cannot be redefined by man for his own desires. Any redefinition by man contrary to this is an affront to God and does not image the love of God on earth. In the heavenly reality, there will be no need for marriage, as we will all be in union with God and each other. In the meantime, we live the earthly existence, and we have to stand up for the faith and the truth. Will it hurt? Yes. Look what they did to him. But with the grace and power of Jesus Christ, we will prevail.